Blog Talk Radio.
Structures are damaged or in disarray. Repeat that. A region where structures are damaged or in disarray. Have you driven through the inner cities lately? Across any city, pick your choice. From the west to the east coast to the north and the south, just pick your choice and drive through the city, the urban part, where it's densely populated with African-American people, poor African-American people. They call them the ghettos. Some call it urban. But what it really, truly is, it's a war zone. Now, I gave you the definition of a war zone, but what is the definition of the word war? What does that mean? Well, it's not really clear when they give you the definition of it. It says something, a conflict. A armed conflict between two countries, two national ethics of sizable groups. Usually it involves military forces. Now we know you don't see the military around these type of neighborhoods. The only time you see a military force is when the people are standing there defending their rights. And then the military force is brought out there to keep the people from defending their rights. So you don't see the military presence, but you do see armed conflict every day, constantly, each and every day. There's shooting, there's violence, there's murders, there's killings. If it's not by the people that live in the area, it's by people on the outside or by the police or by someone else. But every day you can be assured that there's going to be violence. There's going to be someone getting beat up. There's going to be someone getting shot. There's going to be somebody getting arrested. There's going to be somebody being chased. There's going to be somebody dying from a drug overdose. There's going to be somebody selling drugs. There's going to be somebody buying drugs. And none of this is hidden. It's all there, very clear, for anyone who wants to be in that area at any given time. You can see this. It's not hidden. The cameras don't come there, though. You know, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, they don't come there. They don't film it. But it's there every single day. You can see it. Now, there was a movie called The Corner that they decided to make, which is based off of the real people, the true story of what was really going on in Baltimore, in the urban community. But that's the closest that anyone has come to actually showing the reality of what this urban violence, traumatic stress is all about and where it comes from. Now, I spoke to you last week about this urban violent traumatic stress and what it was. Urban violent traumatic stress. It is in children who live in a socio-environmentally induced stress reaction in an urban community. This is their response to the stress that they live in every day and every night, whether it's inside of their home or outside of their home. Or sometimes it's, and I challenged people last week to try going into the urban neighborhood just one day. Try spending a day there. Walk down the street. See how far you get without this fear coming over you or this stress, this traumatic stress coming over you. Or go to one of the schools in the inner cities and see what it's like. Walk down the hallways, if you can get there, if you can get inside the hallway. See what you see. Sit in the classrooms. Look at the books. What do the books look like? What sizes are the classrooms? What is the atmosphere like? Are the schools clean? Go down the hallways. Turn the corners where there's darkness and no one seems to be in that corner and see what you see. Talk to the administrators of the schools and see what you see. I challenge you, because this is what these children go through day in and day out. We probably could not deal with it for one day, for 2 hours maybe, not even. But this is the lives of most of our children in the urban inner city. This is their lives. And then we sit here and we wonder why by the time they reach the age of maybe 14, 15, they're not wanting to go to school anymore, and they're wanting to hang out, and they want to have a gun, and they want to have drugs, and they want to have all these crazy things that they see in the videos or on the games. You know, they want to recreate the actions that they see on these games that they play. And they want to somehow escape from this reality that they have been living since they've been here on this earth. And their only escape and the only way to deal with this stress is to become part of the problem. Because, see, they don't know that this is a problem, because they've been living this day in and day out. This is their zone. This is their life. This is their war that they've just accepted as something that just truly is their life. And they know that every day that they wake up and they get down that block and they get to school and they get back, that's just one more day given to them, because they don't know what tomorrow holds, because they've been to many funerals. They've seen many dead bodies. They've had many of friends die from being murdered, either by a bullet or just beat to death. They've seen it every day. They know it. Family members, friends, school members. And what kind of help do they get for this? What kind of counseling do they receive? And how does anybody know how to really help them if they really don't understand the problem? What kind of studies are done on urban violence, traumatic stress, to the point where they have an answer? Because how can they do case studies on people? They can't take anybody, any children from the suburbs or any other race, and say, hey, we're going to do a study on this traumatic stress, this UVTS, and we want to bring you in as a case study. So where are they going to get the numbers from? Where are they going to get the case studies from? It's a very, very difficult thing. But this is what we're facing here in this country. And we stand out there and we say, hey, nobody cares about black-on-black crime. But do we? Do we really know what black-on-black crime really is? Because that's really not what it is. This black-on-black crime that we see day in and day out, that's really not what it is. It's an inner self-angry hatred that lives within our children. They don't understand it themselves. But they have this pain and this hatred and this lack of self-worth. And so when they're giving a gun so easily, what happens when you shoot a gun? What happens with that bullet? Where does it land? When it lands, what type of damage does it do? So they give them these guns, and then they bring them these drugs. What happens when they take these drugs? What happens when they sell these drugs? And then they send them to these schools, and they teach them things that they really don't relate to. Where are the life classes that help them understand why their parents sometimes maybe can't cope, or why their parents are angry sometimes when they get these bills and they can't pay them, or why their parents can't understand why they can't go and make a decent amount of money to keep bread in the house? Or do they give them classes to help them understand why their parent is struggling day in and day out trying to stay off of the drugs and stay off the alcohol and trying to make a better place? Or do they give them understanding of when the landlord doesn't come and fix the heat so we're freezing all night, or the landlord doesn't want to put new paint on the walls so we're too embarrassed to have anybody come over because the landlord won't exterminate and get rid of the roaches, even though we clean the house every single day? The landlord won't come and cut the grass like they say they are. We don't have a lawnmower because we can't afford one. The landlord won't fix the screen door. What do we tell the children? How do we teach them how to handle these things? Because, see, when they watch the videos and they turn on the television, this is not what they see. This is nowhere near the things that they will see when they look outside of their world. But how often and how many actually get the chance to go outside of their world? Yeah, there are field trips at school. Can they afford them? And the field trip only lasts, what, 4 hours? And they can dream for those 4 hours, and they can be happy for those 4 hours, but when they get back to school, they get off that bus, where are they going? Right back down that street, right back down that alleyway, dodging a bullet, dodging someone that's continuing to harass them about joining their gang, dodging someone that's continuing to tell them, hey, why don't you act up like us? Why don't you be a part of us? Why? Who do you think you are? You think you're so perfect. You think you're better than us. We won't even talk about that pressure. You know, they have all these specials about being bullied and all these different things about people being bullied. Well, I challenge the United States government to stand up and continue to question themselves and ask themselves, why are you bullying our children like this? Why are you putting all these guns and these drugs into the community? Why are you bullying them? Why are you making it very difficult for them to even rise in the morning and go to school? Why are you bullying them with no jobs, with a horrible school system where the education only cares about the test scores? Why are you doing this to them? Why are you making it so expensive to just buy a loaf of bread? Why? Why does it have to be where the grocery stores in the neighborhoods are the worst of all? Even the known brands of grocery stores. You go to a store and you go in a suburb, great grocery store. The same name now, the same brand, the same name, the same items. But when you get into the inner city, you go into that grocery store, totally different. Totally different setup. And there's a main company that's really, really known for this. They're in all the urban neighborhoods, and they pride themselves on building stores in these urban neighborhoods. And they say that because it creates jobs. What kind of job? And you go into these stores. The shelves are half empty. The stores are dirty. You can't find what you're looking for half the time. And the prices are not all that great. See, that's another stress. That's a whole nother traumatic stress. And if you want to go to a better store, you gotta go drive farther and spend more gas. If you want to go to a better school, you gotta get up way early in the morning. And by the time you get up early in the morning and get to that school and get home, you really don't want to participate in any extracurriculums because you have to stay after school and you won't get home till dark. What kind of life is that for a child who's already stressed? Why should they have to get up 2 hours earlier and go to bed 2 hours later just to be able to get what America says is supposed to be free to them, an education? Why? Doesn't make any sense to me. But this is the lives that they live. How many schools do they pass up just to get to the school that's going to treat them better and have better books and give them a better chance, a better education? Why? Every kid can't go to that better school. And then the more kids that go to the better school, then where is the money left for the children that cannot afford to get into that better school? Meaning, where are the tax dollars left? If you have hardly any children left at that school, what's going to happen? What kind of alternative is it? I send my children to the school down the street that's got paint coming off the wall, it's a horrible school, or either I get them up 2 hours early and get them on a bus and get them off to the school that's 2 hours away. After a while, it takes a lot of toll on that parent and that child. Yeah, they may be getting a better education, but at what cost? You can't get that time back. You can't get that body back. You know, this is the world they live in. You can't get it back. So why not start looking at these war zones and trying to create a peace zone? But we're spending millions and trillions of dollars going to other countries trying to help them and trying to decrease their wars and help their war zones become peaceful and build their properties up and take away all the damaged structures and disarray and build bridges for them, and plant flowers for them, and sidewalks and grass for them, and nice oxygen from the trees in the neighborhoods for them. But what are we doing for our own children in this war zone, all this concrete, all these broken bricks, broken bridges, broken streets? It's sad. We don't want to go there. The first thing we want to do is get a better job and move away. But this is where our beginnings are. And then we wonder why, when they grow older, we've come to this black-on-black crime. We wonder, where did this come from? How did this happen? Well, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. You know what they call that. That's insanity. And right now, America is insane because they know what's going on day in and day out. And either they like it and they want it to happen, or they're just insane and they think it's going to go away. They think they're just going to kill everybody, right? It's not going to happen. It's not. So, I see we have some callers. So, well, the caller is not there anymore, but I was just wondering what the caller there and what the caller had to say. But we have to understand, and we have to wake up, and we have to be accountable ourselves. for what's happening to our children. This is serious. And from what they tell us, this UVTS, urban violence, traumatic stress, it's worse than the PTS or the PT, whatever, the post-traumatic stress that the soldiers face. Because, see, unlike the soldiers, the children in inner city, they never leave this combat zone. They never leave the war zone. And so this trauma that they experience is repeatedly experienced over and over again. And this is the problem. And it's sad. It's really, really sad. And we don't really handle it, like I said earlier. We don't really do anything about it. Because when you take someone and they're experiencing those symptoms, you never think about the school. You never say, hey, where is this coming from? It could be the school. It could be their home. But you know that this is something they have to do, so you don't really, you know you can't change it. So what do? I don't know. But I know all of those people out there that say they're concerned about the black-on-black crime and all those people out there that say they want it to stop. Well, this is where it starts. This is the root of it, and you can't stop it without handling the roots. You can't. You know, when I was younger, I used to say, hey, in my neighborhood, I would watch my mom get off the bus every day, and she'd be tired coming home from work. And then I would watch the different people as they got older in the neighborhood and as they sat outside and how they dealt with their struggles and their trauma and their troubles. And I looked around me, and one thing I saw on every corner, basically in my neighborhood, every 3 or 4 blocks, there was a liquor store. Every 3 or 4 blocks. And I told myself, if I ever become very wealthy, I'm going to go back into those neighborhoods and I'm going to put gyms. I'm going to put boxing rings and exercise places so that when that person got off that bus, that person got off of work and they were walking home, they wouldn't have to see that liquor store and they wouldn't have to go in that liquor store and say, hey, I need something to relieve my stress because the boss just doesn't understand. They don't really care. I need something to release my stress because I don't know how I'm going to feed my children. But I would take this last dollar and buy this bottle of liquor and make me feel good at least for a day. Or I'd see the drug man and he'd give me something for that day. And it's not going to take the problems away. But hey, if there was an exercise gym where they can go in there and ride that bike for 30 minutes and release that stress, what a difference that would make by the time they got home to greet their children and to greet their problems. Or if they could go into that boxing ring and punch that boxing bag for 30 minutes. What a difference that would make to a father. Maybe he wouldn't get home and punch his children or punch his wife. What a difference that would make. And I still think about that as I go through the inner cities and I continue to see the liquor stores. And it's even like that in the suburbs. The suburbs I lived in Chicago. The mayor decided to have 3 different liquor stores. But instead of calling them liquor stores, they call them spirits. I forgot what they said, something about spirits. Same thing. Because this is what they give us. If they can't bring the drug dealers into the suburbs, then they'll just do it with the liquor stores. That's what they'll do. You know, they used to have YMCAs and YWCAs, and they were free. You can go to them. They used to have gyms where you can go and play ball, where the children could go to. Now, there's no such thing in the inner cities. There's a playground, but what's it filled with? Are they safe? What's in that playground? But what's for the parents? What's for the people that are struggling every day? How are they to release their stress that they've seen day in and day out? Remember, they grew up here. They didn't get out. So all of this stress that they're going through, it's going right to the children. And it's a vicious cycle. And no one seems to care. But then they create this thing, black-on-black crime. I can think of a whole lot of other descriptions, and it's not black-on-black crime. It's not. It is the outcome of what has been done to us since we've been here, since we've got on the boat coming across when we left the sands from the motherland. This trauma has started. This violence has started. Packing us into those boats. That's when that urban violence, traumatic stress started. And has never left us. So I challenge everybody out there to really think about it. And let's come up with a solution. I don't know. And I can't figure it out by myself. And I need everybody out there to really jog their minds. And let's figure this out. Where did we start? How do we do this? Now, I'm not sure if I have a caller that wants to talk or not. I know I got like 3 minutes left, so let me see. Caller, are you there at 314?
I'm here.
Hey,
hi, Carrie.
How are you?
Oh, I'm
doing
much better. But anyway, what this is called is called genocide.
Yes,
slowly get rid of the race. Okay? Slowly get rid of the race. Kill off their youth so they cannot proliferate. Okay, how do we stop it? You can't really stop it, but what you can do is try to lift up yourselves. Go back to the 60s and see what happened in the 60s with the Black Panther Party, how they were feeding their own community. Community garden where people got together and they planted their own vegetables. They learn basic survival skills, you know, and not having to depend on the supermarkets, okay? And this is a healthier lifestyle, even eating that way. Establishing your own gymnasium within your backyard or in the park, you know, the people that have these skills, instead of you coming home and sitting on your butt and drinking a liquor bottle or shooting up or sipping up or blowing up, go out there and work with these youth. Okay, that's what it's called. But
well, then we have to fight the legislator, too, and not allow so many liquor licenses in our neighborhood.
That's true. It's easy.
Put a limit
to get
on how many liquor stores could be in our neighborhood.
Right. But it's easier to get a liquor store than it is anything else.
Very easy. And remember,
and
they used to couldn't sell
that.
It on certain days. Now if they sell it every day, all day.
People will buy that quicker than they'll buy anything else.
That's
you
my
know?
Point. That's my point. And it's sad, Harry. It's sad. And they're counting me down. And
around.
I'm sorry because they're counting me down. I got like 1 minute left.
Right.
And I wish I could have got to you sooner. I'm so sorry.
That's all right, babe. That's all right.
But we're going to continue talking about it. I got another story coming next week, but it's going to be tied on to this. So just be ready next week, and we'll talk.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Harriet. As I say every week, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So if you're ready to have your freedom, then you need to have the truth. And I challenge you to that. So stay true and be blessed. And I'm yours truly, Terry Littlejohn. And until next week, thank you. God bless.